Blessed New Year. I don't necessarily say Happy New Year, but because what we need is God's blessing, and that's available. Amen? You receive that? We have some people that I definitely want to make sure that we pray for this morning after the service. Peggy's going to have surgery on Wednesday or Thursday. The Wents are leaving us for more snow. We need to pray for their mentality as well as their gift. I love it that you love winter. In fact, today I want to talk to you about winter. I believe that it's very clear in the scriptures that God says pay attention to the seasons, that we're in personally. And also, I believe that he did not make mistakes. He put the seasons in place. And the whole earth is filled with the glory and in the knowledge of God. And so in every season, and even seasons that lay upon seasons, like to have a successful winter right now, we needed to have a successful spring, summer, and fall. Because now we're waiting for the spring. How many got hope for the spring? Just be very careful. I guess one of the things I would say to you that I would say the Lord would say, don't just think so far ahead that you forget the winter. There's a reason for the winter. There's things that God wants to share with us during the season of winter. And even this year, I've shared with Pastor Brandon that I asked Pam to do this, that she would put on my calendar whenever we go into a different season. Like we've got winter, we've got spring, we've got summer, we've got fall. And so if the Lord would grant this year, every time we change a season, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to give us a word about that season that we're going in, because it's not an accident. The 365 days of the year, the circle of the earth, it says in Psalms, that, in fact, I think my first scripture says this in Psalms 72, is it? No, it's actually it's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let there be them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. So let me read that again now. And God said, how many know it's a good thing when God said something? God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. I was reading in Psalm 72 today, where prophetically the word was, and God has predetermined the borders of the universe. Our earth has got a border. When it circles around the sun, God boxed that in with gravity and all the forces of the other planets, our moon, and with the sun. He decided that it's going to circle, and this is going to be the circle. He decided where the oceans would be, how big they would be. He decided the seas. He decided the weather patterns for different parts of the earth. He put all of that into motion, and he decided that you would live in the North Country. Now, probably none of that other stuff you questioned. But it says that he has predetermined. You ever think about the fact that what if you would have been born in Ghana? What if your spirit would have been in a little baby in Spain or in China? It's just fascinating that we are in such a plush country with such liberties. And it's been given to us as a responsibility. We are to be good stewards of our education, of our money, of the freedom that we have. It's all been given to us. It's kind of like when your kids get older, as you raise your children, what you really want is at some point is you just kind of unlock them. You say, now I've taught you what's good and what's bad. I've talked to you about friends. I've talked to you about sex. I've talked to you about drugs. Now you have to be a good steward of your life. You have to decide what you're going to do with that. Are you going to be like the world, or are you going to allow the pattern of God to begin to cause abundance to come in your life? And so when we choose godliness, when we choose not to get to make our own righteousness. But when we choose the direction that God wants for our lives, blessing comes in. So we are have to be stewards of our life. But it says that he has predetermined where we would live. You are definitely a detailed creation, and you've been put into this North Country for a reason. And so all of that is explored out as you serve the Lord. So let's pray together right now. Father, I just thank you that right now you're beginning to rain on us and you're beginning to soften our hearts. I thank you, Father, that you have given us eyes to see, that we have a new heart to receive. We got a new beat, Lord, within us. We got a new song with us. We thank you for the life that is ours because we've been born again, for the broad opening of the kingdom. Help us not to be lazy, Lord, but to be eager to occupy the promises and occupy the new land. Bless these women and these men and their children and their families. Holy Spirit, I trust that you will be among us today, imparting to us and sowing into us as we are in this time called winter and approaching another year. Thank you, Father, for all the testimonies that some of which we've forgotten of times that we were in tough spots in 2017. We cried out to you. We didn't think we'd make it through, but here we are. Another testimony of your grace. You helped us through sickness and pain, trials and tribulations, victories and joys. And we bless your wonderful name for it. Make us a blessing to your heart, Father, and a blessing to this area. We pray this in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. Don't you love it when the Lord quickens some things to you? You know, there's something about his voice personally. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they do not follow a stranger." There was one point where he was preaching a pretty hard word at the congregation that was following him, and a bunch of them left. And he said, "You leave me too?" And Peter got it. He said, "Where else can we go? Yours is the only voice that brings life to us." And I hope that that's where you're at as a Christian, that you understand he is the vitamin among vitamins. He is the quickener among quickeners. And if you've never heard the voice of the Lord, I want to tell you it's part of your heritage. It's your inheritance. And if you haven't been able to recognize it, I would begin to ask the Holy Spirit, "I must be missing it because I know I've been born again, but I'm not hearing. So I'm asking, I want to hear you more in 2018. And there's nothing like God, even the fact that God speaks to you. It's just so cool. So, this season called winter, I have to confess I had to adjust myself because honestly, I tell Joanne, when Christmas is over, I start saying this, spring is coming. Spring will be here any day. And I literally would, in my fear or whatever you want, my hatred of snow and cold would literally run through the sea and just, I can't wait, this is over and over and over. And so as I started studying this, I realized, boy, I've been really missing something. There's a reason for winter. And I thought of you, Dale, because I look at you and Rob as, I would say, dirt specialist, because you're always sowing and planting and you understand what's going on right now underneath the snow, that the earth is actually being refreshed. It's being revitalized. And if that doesn't happen, the crop that they've already been preparing for in the fall and they're anticipating and preparing for now in the winter to plant in the spring will not become abundant. They trust that God is doing something in this cold season. They've learned it. And so have you ever heard this, that snow is fertilizer? It's not just cold, it's actually fertilizer. And so God is not saying, "Well, I'm just going to freeze them for a while until we get back to summer and then we can have the outdoor pool parties and so forth like that." There's something going on. And going back to my scripture, the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. And so everything that God has put his hand on and has put into creation, there is voices in there. there's lessons in there. And here's some things that I just want to lay some groundwork here. I talked about that God established in Genesis. We're going into a beginning series, and the beginnings, Genesis means beginnings, and that God established in the very beginning that there would be day and night, there would be stars, there'd be moon, and all the elements, and that they would actually be signs for us people here on earth so that we can kind of figure out what's going on, the seasons that we're leaving and the seasons that we're going in. Then Genesis 8:22, we actually have a scripture that is given to Noah after the destruction of the earth. And it's actually a covenant scripture. In other words, God makes a covenant with us and with the four seasons. It's a good scripture, actually, if you're into global warming, and we got to be careful, it's political in here today, all because of you. I believe it doesn't matter who the president is. The Bible says we lift up holy hands without wrath, and we gave Obama and Clinton a pretty hard time as Christians, and so all of a sudden now we want to, and I'm just talking about myself. It doesn't matter who's in the White House, it's Jesus is in charge, and the biggest problem is we don't lift up holy hands without wrath. We need to pray for our leaders, and I totally agree with what you said, Wayne, and I'm glad we prayed for him. But God gives this covenant, and you have to understand the background of this covenant. Noah, God was grieved with mankind. He said this, and maybe you're there. He said that the thoughts of mankind are extremely wicked. They're disgusting to me, constantly. You know, after this time, men began to live 70 years. Before, they lived 700 years. Can you imagine how much corruption you can have in your life after 700 years of practice? It grieved God. And God said, it grieves me that I've even made them. And I'm going to send a judgment on the earth. But not with you, Noah, because you found grace. And your family will find grace because you're my people. And so we know that God directed him to build this ark. And for 378 years, some people think that he was in the ark for 40 days and 40 nights. He was actually in the ark for 378 days. There was no sun. There was no seasonal change. Can you imagine right now if maybe a volcano blew up someplace and all of a sudden there was this overcast of all the earth and everything got dark and we didn't know other than we just had to count. We didn't even know really how to count the days because it was dark all the time. And so Noah and his family were in this ark, this covenantal promise with God for 378 days, not seeing the sun, not seeing the earth. I mean, I imagine there were some major storms going on at different times, kicked all over the place by the obstacles. And then at the end of that time, we find Noah starts sending out a dove. And eventually the dove comes back with a piece of earth in his mouth, and Noah realizes something's changing. The waters are starting to recede. And then he found himself, all of a sudden, one day they're going along, and the boat hits Mount Ararat. I'm not sure if I'm saying it. Doesn't matter, you know. That mountain that they landed on. And so the boat, all of a sudden in the middle of the day or the middle of the night, they don't know. And he opens up the windows and he lets out the dove. And eventually the dove doesn't come back anymore. And he realizes the waters are beginning to recede. And so he takes of the clean animals that he has and he gives a sacrifice unto God. And the Bible says, and the Father smelt the sacrifice of worship, and it was pleasing. And then he said this, I make a covenant now. This is never going to happen again. We think of the rainbow, and we think about it will never happen again. But there's a covenant that goes beyond that. In other words, the seasons are a promise as well. That verse 22, chapter 8 of Genesis, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So, winter is here to stay. You that are praying global warming will change it, so we will never have winter again. Winter is going to be someplace. God's promised it. But when you look at the winter and you realize that we're in a season, you can remember that God promised there's good things happening now, and there's another season coming after this, and it's going to be a good season. It's going to be a plush season. And what's happening in this winter time of reflection and stepping back is actually going to explode. I can prophesy that by April, maybe June, being a North Country boy, the trees are going to literally explode. The bushes are going to explode. The bees are going to explode. The birds, it's going to get absolutely crazy with life. You that have allergies, you're going to explode because there's so much pollen, so much cross-pollination going on, so much life, so much fertilization that's happening after this season. It's coming. So if that's in the natural, can that happen to me in the spiritual? I think if we run past it, though, Dale, we could miss it. If we don't appreciate and embrace, if we complain, did you know complaining really short circuits the promises of God? Yes. We are to be people that are thankful all the time and learn to give thanks even when it's a cloudy day and a rainy day, because God is always good, always. It's His nature. And so we always come back to that place on the, what's that called? A compass. We always come back to the north setting, which is God is always, 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 Father, Son, Holy Ghost, good. So we always come back to that place, even when we don't understand, that God is going to bring something out of this. Then here's another scripture that God declares from heaven in Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 2, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. So God is saying to everything there's a season. There's seasons in our life, there's seasons in the earth, but there's a purpose under heaven. And so as we are in this winter season, my challenge to you and my challenge to myself is, what is the purpose that we have? And then here's another warning scripture that we find in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. I'm going to say it this way. The creature, that's us, is out of step with the Creator. We have lost our synchronization with Him, and we are so caught up in the flow of this world. The Bible warns us, don't be conformed, don't be pushed by what this world is pushing. And you got to slow down. And that's one of the things about winter. And I've always been fascinated with this scripture, and I've actually seen a lot of it unfold in my lifetime. It's talking about the spirit of the Antichrist, or possibly even the Antichrist, and one of the things that he's going to do in the last days. In the last days, one of the things the Bible has told us, that in the last day, knowledge is literally going to explode. Have you seen what's happened with the internet, with cell phones? You know, what's going to happen in this next decade, if the Lord tarries, is going to be amazing. Folks that are older than me are literally just taken back by the explosion of knowledge. And much of it has been awful because it's been used under that corruption stand, but it can be used in a good way. But a spirit, a prophetic word that came way back in Daniel of these days, it says that he, that Antichrist, will speak against the Most High, the standard of our God, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. He'll tire us out with all the garbage that's getting thrown at us. And he shall think to change the times. One version says, and the seasons. Another version says, and he will think to change the times and the laws, the principles of God. And they shall be given unto his hand until a time and times and a half a time. And I have no idea what that means, really. But it means that there is a spirit that's going to be released to try to say what is wrong is right. Anybody heard that spirit? That the things of God are unrelevant to our day. That they don't matter anymore. And actually, the time that we're in, The reason that many of us are not in sync is because the wind or the rushing water of our society is go, 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 go. Don't stop. Don't stop. Go, 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 go. It's always a green light. You can't get in an elevator without hearing noise. You pick up your phone, there's noise. There's noise, 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 noise. Winter is about stepping back and stopping it. Just stop it. Get your PJs on. Get a cup of coffee or cocoa, whatever you prefer. Get a good book. Get your Bible. And purposely step back and say, Lord, I will not be pushed by this culture that says run, run, run. I will be still, and I will recognize that you are God. We all have, what's that thing that a lot of kids have today because our society is filling them with sugar, ADD? As Christians, we have it too. We can't even sit through an hour sermon, unless it's a good one, like here. But we're so antsy. And it's because we're being trained to be more antsy and more impatient. Everything happens quickly. You know, you walk and you see kids and they are mesmerized. There's a spirit of the iPhone. Nobody talks to each other anymore, and they say gross things through texting and through email because we don't have to face the person. And there's all this technology that's going on. And God says, listen, I'm going to refresh the earth. Number one, did you do your duty in the spring? Did you plant? Did you look for a harvest? Did you do your duty in the summer? Did you cultivate that which you planted and believe God and step back and watch the miracle of what God? And then did you reap a harvest in the fall and begin to prepare and tear the ground up and be ready for a season of winter where you can step back and say, Lord, this is the Sabbath now of you. You know, one of the great things about the Sabbath is it's finished. That's what the Sabbath means. He did everything, and he says, now I want you to recognize it by stop doing everything that you want to do. And say, God, I take the Sabbath, I take a rest, and I declare it is finished. There's nothing I can add to it. There's nothing that I can do that will make life any better. It's all about what you've done. You reflect and say, God, you know, going into another year and I still haven't learned to read my Bible. I'm so caught up in my job, I never think about you all week long, and every Sunday I get convicted. I'm not praying at all. My kids are growing up and I don't know what to do with them. My marriage is good, but I don't really know this girl. I don't know this guy anymore. And I hate my boss, and I've hated him for years. And I got struggles going on here and there and everything, Lord. Is this really abundant life? No. Why don't you step back? Let me talk to you about your boss. Let me talk to you about your wife, your husband, your kids. Let me talk to you about your attitude. Let me rejuvenate you. Let me refocus you. And so you sit there in your PJs. I say that because it's just a great illustration. And your cup of coffee. I got mugs that I hope to give to many of you, and it says, come sit with me. Revelations. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. We got that out of one of the foundations class. All of a sudden, that hit me in the middle of it. I got to get a mug that says, come sit with me. And every morning, I go into my closet, and I pick that mug out, and I remember that Jesus is inviting me to sit with him. That's what winter, more than anything, it's what winter's about. There's also, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but that's okay, isn't it? The law of the Sabbath. The benefits of winter in nature. Let me just read a couple of scriptures. Did you know that God cares about the land? He cares about your cows. He cares about your beasts of burden. Did you know you can get in trouble if you beat your cows? I used to beat them. He said a cruel person beats their cows. I used to beat cows. A cruel person is bad to their animals. I'm amazed at Mimi, that's Joanne, how kind she is to our dogs. You know, but that shows something about your heart. God wants you to be kind to his creation. And he says in Exodus 23:6, he says, He talks about the land. He said, 6 years you shall sow in your land and gather its product, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lay fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field may eat. In like manner you shall do with your vineyards and your olive groves. 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female servants and the strangers may be refreshed. And then he says this, and in all that I have said to you, be careful or circumspect to make sure that no mention of any other god, nor let there be heard out of your mouth. God actually wants you to relax. When's the last time you relaxed? Hopefully not during the sermon. You actually just said, it's hard sometimes to relax in the busyness of your life. But God says, hey, if you don't learn to relax, you're going to hurt yourself. We have learned how to keep lights on so we can work 24/7. You can stay up all night. And some of us do. So the discoveries sometimes we use actually to disobey the Lord, and we think we're smarter than Him. And we don't relax. We don't purposely shut down and let God be God in our lives. There's a solitude. I was looking at the winter. I've rediscovered the white stuff. I've rediscovered the winter because of just going into the Word. There's a solitude in winter. I don't see a lot of critters running around out there. There's a quietness, aloneness that you have in this season. And it's all right. See, once you understand, some of us go through depression in the winter. And there's something that happens in the winter. We go from 14 hours of light to 9. It affects you. And there's a solitude, a loneliness that comes on us. I don't know about you guys, but I'm immortal. Anybody, we actually had a person once that thought he was going to live forever in this life. No, we're going to pass from this life to another life. And so we don't think about that. We don't stop. And I think, honestly, it's playing in the background all the time. And sometimes you just need to stop and say, Lord, there's a day coming that I'm going to be with you. My wife can't do anything about it. Robbie can't do anything about it. It's going to be me and you. I find that a little bit intimidating, Lord, and somewhat frightening, but also exciting at the same time. Let's talk about that. Let's be alone together. I might think, Lord, I might misunderstand and think I'm depressed. I'm not depressed. I think it's just the weight of reality, of eternity with you, and the awesomeness of you, and the frailness of my life, and the people that I love. So I'm not going to misread it and hang my head and say I'm just so depressed. I don't think that that's my portion. Believe me, I've been depressed. You have too. But sometimes we just welcome it. We go get slippers for it. We put our bathrobe on. Come on, Mr. Depressed, let's sit around and be depressed together. I'll tell you why I'm depressed. And we just go on and on and on. Instead of saying, no, this is a time, Lord, that I'm not going to be depressed. I'm going to control myself. Self-control, by the way, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to focus on you in this lonely moment, this time. And I look out and I see the snow and I see the trees are all frozen and they're covered with snow, and the deer can't come to our house anymore because the snow's so deep, and it's just, I'm cut off. Nothing like we used to be, but that's part of winter. Nothing we should run from, but maybe run to. Are you with me? Have you noticed everything has a letter code? Like maybe you have SAD. Seasonal affective disorder. It's amazing. No matter what they have letters for everything now. I got DDS, PL, LLC. you know, whatever it is, and all these stupid things that you can have. But maybe you have SAD, which is seasonal affective disorder. Winter is a tough time, saints. I make fun of it, but it's not fun. So, but on the other side of it, the second side is a spiritual side, and it says, the day is yours, and the night also is yours, Psalm 74:16. You have prepared the light and the sun. You have set all the borders of the earth. There's that scripture. You have made summer and winter. In summer, I talk about our bathrobe. I talk about coffee. I talk about chocolate. I talk about sitting in a chair. But there's a scripture. It says in the Psalms, and it's talking about all the chaos that's going on in this person's life. And then the Holy Spirit says, I want you to be still and know that I'm God. So when things are overwhelmed right now, saints, I want to tell you, we need to pray for the Slagatus family. There's a lot going on in that family right now. I'm not saying the evil one's having an upper day, but Paul had a stroke. He's not doing well. Linda's carrying a lot. They're having problems with their home, with their cars. And I'll tell you, if that was you, and we can say to him, be still and know that they are, that he is God. But I would just encourage you to lift them up and pray for them. Can you say amen? Pray for them. But there is a time in this winter where God would say, be still and know that I am God. Winter demonstrates both God's patience and his hopefulness. Before, I would just concentrate all winter on the hopeful part. When we were praying this morning, a couple of the saints brought up this idea of hope. And that's really what causes me to say, spring's coming. And I'll probably still say it because I'm excited about spring. But you know why I'm excited about spring? Because it always comes. Amen. This isn't going to last forever. And sometimes you have to let that hope come up. So it's a great time of patience. But at the same time, as you're waiting for something, and you can have winters at different seasons in your life too, not just this, but if you have a winter moment in the summer, you can remember the principles of winter in the season. And you can step back and say, Lord, you're just so patient. You're patient to let the snow come, and you know, we have a real problem right now with ticks. Have you known that? And the reason we have had a problem with ticks is the last couple winters, it hasn't gotten really, really cold because the cold drives into the ground and kills them. And so, please don't beat me for this. It's probably good that we're getting some real cold because those suckers are getting out of control. You can't even go for a walk, right, Len? You know, all over the place. And so God's killing them. And there's all kinds of larvae and all kinds of bugs that the farmers know about. That's what this cold weather does. And so God is so patient to just freeze them, freeze them, freeze them! Until they're gone, and it will take months. But he does it. But even as that's going on, God teaches us something's coming after this. Lord, I'll never get out of this. Lord, things will never change for me. Who's that, really? Is that what God teaches us? No. I just thanked him for all he got me through in 2017, most of which I've forgotten. But he's going to get me through trials in 2018. He's a faithful, kind, loving, good God all the time. And so, like I can have hope, I hope that by the end of January sometimes that we're having an Indian summer. And if I can get to the end of January and we still haven't had it, then I set my sights on February. That by the end of, and then if it doesn't happen, I just take 30-day lumps. But I'm filled with hope because I love the spring. But a real good spring comes when you've had a good fall that led you to the winter and that you properly let winter have its work. If you're in a winter right now in your life, I just want to encourage you, there's great hope. Did you hear me? Can you receive that? Are you going to let the door slam that says things will never change? I would say God says, kick in that door. Hope's coming. Something's coming. Trust me. Do what I'm asking you to do in this wintertime. Step back. Let me rejuvenate you. Let me refocus you so that you become strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Last scripture, Psalm 72:18. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed be His glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with the glory, I'm going to add, and the knowledge of God. Amen, so be it, and amen, yes, so be it. This is Psalm 72, and at the end of that, it says, and these are the last prayers of David, a man after God's own heart. So one of the things that we have to understand as a church, saints, is that ministry is given to you. This word is given to you by a pastor called to be a pastor, whether it's me, Brandon, Maylia, whoever's up here ministering. And Ephesians says that God gives you this word to perfect you for the ministry. So I'm gonna launch you. I'm going to pull back on the slingshot of this truth, and I want to launch you into some movement. I want to launch you into changing your attitude about winter, that you would actually stand back and get refreshed, that you would get your PJs on, that you would purposely slow down and let God have something in your life, that you'd reset yourself and really look at yourself and say, am I being driven by the world to the point where I am not even acting like a Christian? And let God begin to cleanse those things in your life. If there's no launching from this word, all I did is just make a bunch of noise. And so I want to launch you into movement. I want to launch you to staring at the snow like never before, to sitting in the presence of God and relaxing and letting God strengthen you like never before, praying like never before, big things, getting into your word, reset yourself in your prayer life, all those things. It's not, this is not New Year's resolutions. This is, I think, the council of the season. Amen? There is a purpose. This is the great thing. There is a purpose under heaven for this winter for you, Christian, for us, church. There's a purpose. And so maybe the thing that you need to do is just step back and say, Lord, what is the purpose? If there's a purpose under heaven right now for me in this winter, what is that purpose? I want to know it, and I want to do it. I want to be launched in it. Can you say amen? Let's all stand up, and we'll close with this prayer. You folks that I mentioned, the Wentz and Peggy, and if there's anyone else here that need, they just really want to respond to this word, they want to be launched, I want to encourage you to come forward so that we can pray for you, possibly give you a word and just help you on your way. Amen, church?